Hello there. This episode is sponsored by Change. If you're anxious about change, don't worry about it, and remember what Shmi Skywalker said. You can't stop the change any more than you can stop the suns from setting. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. Hello everyone, and welcome to the Padawan Unlimited podcast, a Star Wars Unlimited trading card game podcast. I'm your host, Gil. Today I am joined by Corey and Rob. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Ahoy. Doing great.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
We missed you last week, Rob. So
I know.
Funnily enough, after I had posted the last episode, I realized that I said, "Hey, how you doing, butter?" to Corey instead of brother. And it sounded really awkward. So I made it a show note that I actually meant brother.
Okay. I didn't notice. So
no. I'm just going to start calling him butter now.
That's a funny, funny nickname, right? Yep. I get tongue tied sometimes. It's a little weird. Rob, it's been 2 weeks. Have you been playing Swoo in this time frame?
No, holidays were a little bit rough for getting in any events because a lot of our locals, they were happening either on Christmas or just before Christmas or New Year's and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So not a lot of playing. I did go to one of our locals tonight and promptly got my butt kicked. But you know, what else is new?
You still running your Jango Tarkin town?
Yeah, still running Jango Tarkin. But then we'll start talking about it a little bit. But I think that deck and like Cad Tarkin are starting to get teched against, and it's going to be a little bit of an uphill struggle. So like I was talking with a couple of the guys tonight, and I'm sitting here going like 2 weeks before PQ, it's like, do I change my deck? The answer is you never change your deck 2 weeks before PQ, but I'm thinking about it.
I think you could do a hard pivot.
Last week, you might have mentioned that you got two decks just in case. You never know.
Yeah, but it's true. I think you do want two for like a meta call day of, but looking at our, particularly the two PQs that I think I'm going to end up going to, they're both going to be full 128s. So like the likelihood of dodging is pretty minimal, and like pulling a meta skew, you're going to go against a very wide field. So I have a feeling you're going to have a hard time with that.
No, I agree. I think for me, I just posted a video about a mono Yoda deck that I'm tooling around with, and I did
mono
notice
blue
that
Yoda.
Yeah, mono blue Yoda. And I did see that it did top one of the smaller PQs, like a top 8. So shout out to the Yoda crew for getting one on the board. I'm signed up for like 6 of these bad boys. So I might just bring one. I might bring it for one of them just to have funsies. I actually am debating on going to one of the smaller ones just to fly out there, just to, you know, build the community, but also just see what happens.
See if you can take one.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to take one. I'm not that good, but like, you know, like it would be
top
fun.
Top 8,
to just,
man.
Huh?
Top 8. Try to shoot top 8, right?
All I want right now is a winning record. Because I really disappointed myself last year.
Small victories.
Yeah, small victories. Got to start small.
Come on. Got to represent for the casual tryhards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So speaking of the PQs this weekend, I think we were just talking about it. We were talking about it a little bit earlier. There was a wide selection of leaders that kind of showed up.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, without Boba, that's what happens, right? People are in a way forced to figure out something different because we saw, what was it, 35% of decks were Bobas, right? So
yeah,
that's gonna clear up a lot of space for other leaders to kind of sneak in and maybe see something different or unique that we haven't seen before. And that's what I love about this meta right now is that you're getting a variety of different things, even though there are two decks that are prominent right now, I think, as far as representation. But we are getting to see a lot more variety. It's nice.
Yeah. And I think that representation is just like with any meta, right? There's like the deck that's popular and that's going to spike. And then you're going to find the meta calls against that. And then you're going to, you know, it's just going to be that constant cycle. So there's always going to be a deck that's probably going to be, you know, 25% of the field. I mean, Sabine's always going to be around until they don't, you know, until she cycles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like just, you know, it turns out, you know, flip on four leaders, pretty strong just in general because they come out so dang early.
I don't know about that. I mean, you got Nala Se, Asajj,
Who's the other?
Well, okay, Nalase is not Asajj, but Asajj can be strong, and she can be built interestingly. I mean, Kylo at the end of the last set was there. Like those, it's the tempo, right? The true aggression leaders.
With Asajj and Kylo, they just both die so easily.
No, it's true.
One swipe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was surprised by some of the pulls. So like for this past weekend, we kind of knew that Sabine was gonna be played. Obviously, I thought it was gonna be a bigger downturn. That was my bold prediction. I still think that's gonna happen. This is just week one because like, and people are still comfortable with that deck, right? But I've saw some really unique stuff even at SCG Con where someone was playing General's Blade instead of Darksaber, which is huge.
I think that's actually a great call, frankly, because it's only one less power than Darksaber. The Darksaber text, unless you're playing heavy Mandalorians, is kind of dead. So getting the benefit.
Yeah, well, Lao mentioned it to me. Like the reason you play Darksaber is so you can kill a full power Childson in one hit. Where
three, six, it still does six.
No, if you get hit though, it's doing five. If he hits
If you attack with him,
So that's the one thing. But like, that's just one card, situation, right? So like, are you really going to tech for one specific situation? I don't know necessarily, but
no,
I can see it. I just think that saving that extra resource, for one power is pretty nice.
Yeah, and it allows you to do things like you can throw a Daring Raid that turn too. So it's like, they face check. Yeah, okay, you only do five, and then you just Daring Raid it. You know, you've got options with it.
Right, and even in turn five, you have options, or turn four, I should say, like on the five resource turn, you can play that and a two drop. So
Or even on the four resource turn, you drop the General's Blade and a one drop. Unit and now you have like
whatever that sentinel removal guy, right?
Yeah, whatever, you know. So, exactly, you can or the 501st unit, so it's like you're insulating yourself against the other issue with like a blue villainy deck, which is Power of the Dark Side. And also you could potentially turn on coordinate if you so desire. I don't know why you would with a Sabine deck, but like, you know, there's just a lot of options there. There was some other stuff. I don't know if you noticed, there was like a Cassian Andor deck that came out on the top somewhere.
That was at like a really tiny. If I'm looking at this right, or is it, let me see. Hang on, I'm trying to find.
I'm trying to talk about. So this weekend was when we started the PQs, right? So there were 14 total PQs that happened throughout the world.
Yeah,
and that's pretty good. There was a attendance of, and this is competitive. Was it swoo-competitivehub.com? Shout out to those guys; they do a great job.
Yep.
1,032 participants with an average of 74 per PQ. So that's pretty nice to see.
Yeah, I saw some ranges. It was ranging anywhere between like 40 to like 118, 120.
Yeah, it's all
like
one of those max. Well, so 100.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely take like those smaller PQs, like Rob's engine. It was a small PQ that the Cassian top aided in with a grain of salt, but it does kind of show that like it's unpredictable still relatively unpredictable, you know. So
yeah, there was, I was just looking, there was a out in Italy, there was a Fennec Tarkin Town placed second, but it was a 42 player one out in Italy. So, you know, like, interesting, but is it really, you know, is it really going to skew the meta? Probably not. Maybe it was a meta call, you know, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it might. I'm not, all the deck lists have been shared, so I don't know who's like truly innovated as much. Like, but you know, someone out there is going to look at those lists and be like, oh, this one topped it, let's add it, I'm going to use it,
let's just play it. Yeah,
and it's going to surprise, like, you're, you know, because if you haven't played against it, like most people are training against the same meta decks, right, over and over and over again, and once you like kind of memorize those lines, you're probably not remembering other stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
like Bosk, I think Bosk ECL or Bosk Green topped a lot of these things too.
Bosk Green won a PQ.
He won one, and he was like top in a couple others.
Yeah, when that's different, because you didn't see that last set either.
Yeah, I think Bosk Green has a really strong game against Django and Cad, frankly. Cad Tarkin Town. They both play a lot of like lower cost or like lower health, high attack units. Django, and you just ping them to death. Like it just, it's hard to come back from when they set the early tempo, and then you know you can ECL in you know whatever you want, a rook, you know, I don't know what the specific ECL target in the boss deck is, but you've got plenty of good green ECL targets for that.
Yep, and the bounties help ramp up if you want or whatever you need to do. That's
Bounty
like
Hunter Quarry is it? That card is really good.
Bounty Hunter's Quarry. If you can flip it with Bosk out, holy crack! And you do it against a unique, and it's a ten card with a ten card, and you know pull three. Vader amped up. It's bananas.
If anyone is playing a double yellow deck, like AKA Han 1, and you are thinking about your sideboard, this is just a random comment because I know that we're talking about Bosk specifically as well as bounties. This is the perfect opportunity to, if your meta calls for it, to sideboard in a new adventure, because that card is fantastic for a Han player. You get to bounce your own unit with upgrades, remove it, and potentially play it again, because they're probably doing it on like a L337 or some other like crafty smuggler or something, some cheap small unit. So just bounce it for two, play it for two or four. You got your unit right back, and they just waste turns.
Bounty Hunter's Quarry is only one, so it's not a huge loss. I mean, other than the fact that you lose the bounty, right?
But I'm assuming you're not placing a unit down. You just wasted a void resource. You could probably place it again, but now you're wasting tempo for the cost of what, like nothing. So it's and then it also helps for anything else. Like if someone put a perilous position on your Han or your Enfys Nest or anything, like your Kira, boom.
Yep.
You know, just drop that bad boy. And you're good. Anyway.
Yeah, you know, and it's like in the desperation, if you don't have it in the first matchup, you just waylay your own stuff. Like, I think particularly against Bosk, like you want to avoid those double hit triggers or those big hit triggers. Like, so you know, Deathmark is rough, right? Because they hit it twice, they're drawing four cards. Hand advantage is huge. It's more beneficial in Bosk Blue, but even in Bosk Green, you're still digging four and adding to your hand, obviously a Bounty Hunter's Quarry is big. If they can double hit that, that's just bonkers.
We did not see a lot of Bosk Blues either.
Well, Bosk Blue made seven top eights.
Did it? Did we really? Seven? That many?
Bosk Green only made two and won one. So.
Yeah, well, Bosk Blue won one as well.
It did. Where?
Oh, no. I thought it did.
Bosk Blue did not. I don't see it on here anyway.
No, it definitely did. Hang on. Wait.
An Iden blew one and a Cad blew one.
I was not surprised.
With Iden you know blue. You know what's funny is the Cad blue is very similar to the one that I've been building a while back. So I was like, oh, you're right. It didn't. You're right. Bosk Blue was like in a. It was the boss green.
It made a lot of top eights, but it didn't.
Yeah,
it didn't close, and that's I think more what I mean. Like it didn't. I think once you get to the top eight with a Bosk blue, it is exceedingly hard to win because you're probably gonna play another a Han yellow eventually.
Like, you're gonna play Sabine probably. I think Sabine is favored. I mean, you gotta be favored in Heart Control, right?
Yeah, it's.
Bosk Blue is very strong against the Tarkin Town decks, I think, and then it kind of loses to harder control, and it kind of loses to like a lot of aggro. Like if you can go wide against it, it just has a
hard time. And that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's going to take one. We're going to probably continue that downturn. I was not surprised because it only answers very specific things. It doesn't have a broad, you know, appeal to the meta, whereas a lot of these other decks can potentially do that, have that answer. The Iden Blue was surprising. Well, not surprising. That happened last season as well.
Girl's back.
Tell you. Double blue, man. Villainy is just always
still good.
It's always strong. Yeah. I mean, look, you have some of the best top end, control type leaders and units in the game, right? You know, like, well, not leaders, but units in the game, right? So like Snoke, Avenger, you know, just all the
Super Laser
big
Blast.
Blue, yeah, Super Laser Blast, all the big blue top end stuff. Mm-hmm. Like it just.
Yeah, and then Vigilance for 4 is just ridiculous.
Yeah, yes, Vigilance on 4 is bananas.
Yeah.
It's just it's like we've always kind of said, Vigilance feels great on 4, and it still feels okay on 6. It's just you want it later, right?
Vigilance is really the only double aspect card that people feel comfortable playing out of aspect, right? It's
exactly.
Like
exactly. It's like cutting, that cutting feels terrible. Like,
I'm not losing tempo with this card.
Yeah, yeah. Cutting feels terrible on 6, but it feels amazing on 4. Mm-hmm. And nobody really plays aggression, and then at least not right now. And Command's great.
Not worth
double,
playing.
Yeah, on, Command's great in double green, but it double green
right. Like it's not particularly. Worth 6.
Yeah, it's not worth 6. So,
yeah, and no one's playing double red, so no one's gonna play aggression.
Even if they're playing double red,
like aggression suffers from the fact that like it just it only really has one
next set. It's gonna actually, I think the stocks go up a little bit there.
Oh yeah, I think it's gonna pop up a little bit because of the pilot.
Yeah, because it kills upgrade leaders. Yeah, I know, but like. I don't know. Right now, it really only has like one good option in it, and the other ones are kind of like, eh.
Well, they're like, too restrictive. Like,
yeah, it's like
another unit, but it has to have like
it's like worst case is I'm gonna draw a card. Yeah, that's great. Untap a three.
Yeah, I'm hoping to see some more synergies, but I do love these, you know, those double aspect cards. I think they're
they're great. They are great.
What it's they just, do?
I think it's going to be like I was actually toying around with it a little bit earlier today. Thinking about like is there a way to make like like a double red or like a red green villain, like going back to like Vader or possibly like Maul, to get those ECL targets in, like because there's some really really strong cards in that red green villain.
Maul ECL is like a good local deck.
That's what I was saying. Like I was thinking about it, but I don't think it's gonna.
I don't know, man. I think you can't knock them yet because that's the thing with this meta right now we have and all these leaders that we have and we have a freaking Cassian making like splashes. Like who knows? Somebody might crack something where it's like oh. Really, this could work.
I feel like it's gonna have to be like a Maul with like a Maul yellow or something, where he has like shadowed intentions.
And he
on
has
him.
Cad Bane.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, something ridiculous like that, where like you just make him an immovable object. Like imagine mm-hmm. if you did a Chirrut yellow and you put shadowed intentions on him, and you just upgraded him with like a Jedi lightsaber or something every turn after that, and you just had
fallen lightsabers
things.
All over the place.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I guess you can't do fallen lightsabers; it's red, right? So
yeah, or something, whatever, vampire racer, whatever that is. Like just throw those things on him, mm-hmm. and he's just like hitting your base, unstoppable at that round.
Just keep upgrading them.
Just keep up. Yeah, half your deck is just upgrades.
Make you play power failure.
Just gotta have that shadowed intentions in hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. You got a Maul for it. That's all you gotta do. And hold the fort. So
hold the line, baby. Yeah.
So what with these PQs, then we've gotten the results and everything. What do you think like of the, you know, we have the controls, the mid range, the aggros. How do you feel those different styles of play are faring with the meta we got now?
Mid range is king. Mid range is king. Like right now, if you look at it, there are very few control decks. Like Iden Blue took one, but like generally speaking, I consider Sabine kind of more of a mid range. Frankly, like yes, she's aggro, but like her top end really takes her into like a mid range deck.
Well, that's the thing about if you're saying mid range is king, right? Like how is control not doing well?
Because I don't think the control. I think because they have other answers. Is they, like the two popular like Han. I kind of consider Han a mid range.
So like, shouldn't we be focusing on control then? If we're saying mid range is the best,
so
what's beating Han one?
I'm gonna say I think it's because Star Wars Unlimited archetypes still haven't been truly defined because like we have soft control, hard control, mid range, tempo. Aggro, whatever, but the big bucket of mid range encompasses so many leaders. Like I would argue that Kira Green is a mid range deck, right? right?
It's yeah, not, so it's soft control mid range.
Soft control, that, but it's yeah, it's more.
Yeah, it's right on that line. Like, you can put them in both buckets. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
like how what's his name? Krennic Green in set one was like control ish, but really he was mid range, right?
Yeah. As long as Han 1 yellow is in the meta, and it will probably be in the meta for the next 2 months until the next set minimum, there is no control will never take it. Because there's always gonna be an answer. And that's Han 1. And then how do you beat Han 1? You need to like be very good with the draws, and or you need to have some type of really aggressive deck that stops the ground game, right? Forcing them to adapt. And so that's why Sabine can pull it out, right? We played like 7 bajillion games on Sunday with it, and it was a 50-50, regardless of sideboard and stuff. And I don't know.
Yeah,
I think that's why we're not focusing on control.
It's interesting. Like, you know, I think double yellow, we replaced one double yellow leader with a different double yellow leader. And I do think that it's on the back and the strength of cunning and the yellow kit, the general yellow kit, right? Like you add the spice of whether you're heroic or villainous, like Boba, it was, you know, you take certain villainous cards, but like that core is always the same, and it's built on the back of cunning, frankly.
Yeah, I agree. If you can draw cunning, you will probably win majority of your games.
Yep. Well, cunning and hotshot, right? Because cunning and a hotshot, or cunning.
Well, hotshot doesn't even do hand, like hotshot, you're resourcing, right? So it's like you're not even losing a card in your hand because you don't have to keep it. You don't want to keep it, really.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're never playing that from out hand. Of hand. No. Yeah. But it's like between that surprise strike and cunning, like you have a bunch of small stuff that's, you know, 2/2s and like, you know, 3/5s, but between cunning and then the spike up on whether it's a surprise strike or a hot shot or whatever, you're spiking up, and you're at the very worst you're able to trade, right? More often than not, you're just putting pressure on the base to blow it out of the water.
Also, hot shot in a double yellow Han deck costs more to play from hand, so
it costs the same amount as playing it from the resource row. So you're just always going to play from the resource row.
Yeah,
that's true.
But I do think that the meta is going to warp around that, right? That's where we're at.
Saying Hunting Yellow or Han 1 Yellow is the best deck in the game right now?
I think it is. It's one of the hardest decks to play, but in the same way that like Boba Yellow is hard to play, right? Like you had the answers in there, but you had to know how to play it, right? It doesn't matter if you like, yes, you could slap it down and have never played it and you'd probably do okay. But at top tables, I think that's going to be the one that's there. And again, I do think it's built on the back of cunning. Cunning is an incredibly strong card on 4. Mm-hmm. You know, just being able to drop +4 damage on anything, and suddenly you're swinging for like 6 on turn 3, like minimally,
that's
right?
The best,
you know,
option. I mean, I think the double exhaust is just backbreaking for
double exhaust and a bounce for any. That's backbreaking for any aggro deck. I think. That's an interesting. I don't know if that's a bold statement. I think that's actually pretty true. I think the Han 1 yellow deck is probably the best in the meta right now, simply because it shuts down one complete archetype, which is control. Any event based deck is just done, and then it's about a 50-50 without even sideboarding, because of cunnings, for example, and also because your resource row is your hand as well. It's about 50-50 on every aggro deck minimum.
Yep.
And it does okay. I mean, mid-range, it does. That is its weakest point. So, like, if you're playing anything like any double green deck, for example, it's going to be painful. Anything with ramp, essentially, is going to be really tough for a Han to deal with, because it gets to the point where if they can get ahead, because that's your strength. But, you know.
Right. You end it by turn 6, right?
Yeah. If you can't do that.
Also, scanning officer in green is always a factor.
Exactly. And then, you know, if they U-wing you. And then throw in like a home one or something, some nonsense, or a devastator to kill your unit. And then what are you going to do? You have no space presence, generally speaking. And that's just 10 on the board. That's like really, that's really tough for a Han player to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, like, but the thing is like, even without that space presence, the problem is that it has the same problem, or it, it asks the same question that like Django does, I think, in some ways, but it has more answers, right? Like Django says, I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff into space and you're going to have to deal with it. And if you don't, then I win, right? It's not quite that simple, but when you boil it down, right? And then Han does something similar. I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff on the ground and I can make any of it kill you. And you have to, I'm going to go wide and you have to answer it. So he like
also has the best two card combo in the game with Tech.
Oh yeah, DJ Tech is like that's the thing. Like, and that's the other thing. It's like it also and that's the big thing. It asks this question very early. It's can you kill Tech? And if the answer is no,
DJ when DJ comes out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, can you kill Tech? And if the answer is no, then you probably lose, because if they drop Tech turn two and you do not have the answer, turn four DJ. That's it.
I mean, turn three DJ with Han, right? So.
But you need to play. Yes. Turn three DJ. Sorry, yeah. Turn three DJ.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm thinking resource four.
Because you can take Han away from. I mean, you can take Sabine away from their flip turn. You can take away a flip turn for Sabine, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's tough. And so, like, even with Django, for example, Django's a very fast deck and asks a similar question. But Django, you have to be able to answer Tech. So, you're drawing for that double one turn where you get like Greedo and an ISB or something like that, or hopefully you get a Daring Raid so that you can then Tarkin it, right? Like, you have to have that answer in hand. If you don't draw it, good luck. That happened to me tonight. Played Zach playing double yellow, knew it was coming, and like just didn't draw it. Mulligan for it, didn't draw it. I was like, well, I'm gonna lose this game. Drops Tech on turn two. I'm like, here comes DJ, you know, and it's like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, that's pretty tough. I didn't know he was playing Han Wan. I guess, yeah, I mean, you gotta go with the best deck in the meter, right? All right, so we're coming up on time. I know it's pretty late. So anyone who's out there listening, these episodes are video episodes are usually recorded on Tuesday night. So it's if anything has changed from now until Thursday when I post or when we post, excuse the delay.
Comment on the video. Let us know.
Yeah. Comment on the video. Let us know.
Boost that algorithm.
Yeah, last thing. So we had both predictions last week. I'm going to start off again going into the next weekend. I am still going to stick with my guns, and I think we're going to see a share of Sabine go down. I think, really? Honestly, just the first week was because people are just the most comfortable with that deck.
You don't think because of how well Sabine did, people aren't going to
see that go up? I think we're going to see more.
I like Dark
Horse. Same bold prediction, right?
So I like bold prediction. I like Dark Horse plays. I honestly think we're going to see a lot more of everything else because the people are like, I need to find an answer to Sabine. I don't want to play Sabine. I think that's what I'm thinking. Again, we'll see. But at the end of 2 months, we'll do the stats and we'll see the trajectory. I still think that's going to be my bold prediction for this set. Sabine is not going to do well, and that's not going to be represented, but I think we're going to see a steady decline even from set two to set three, and then within these next couple weeks. If you disagree with that, let me know. Send me an email at gil@padawanunlimited.com, and I'll be happy to give you a shout out in one of the future episodes. We'll go over to, I don't know if he's ready, but maybe Rob, bold prediction?
For me, I think we're going to see a hell of a lot less Django Tarkin Town. Probably Cat down too. I think the meta is just teching against it. And because of that, I think what we're probably going to see is I think this next round, we might see it's tough. Cause I'd say we might see a rise in Palp just because of its game into Han, but with Sabine still kind of lurking, it's a risky play. Right. I don't know. We'll see. I think it's the opposite of yours, frankly, at the end of the day. I think we're going to see a lot more Sabine just because I think it answers some things. And like I said, at least you got a 50-50 against Han, and that's what you need, right? Like, that's the boogeyman.
All right. How about you, Corey?
It's crazy because like Sabine is still like, I love these stats that this school competitive hub has. It's like Sabine had 21 top eights. That's 18, almost 19%.
Yep.
And the next closest is Han, 16 with at 14%. Obviously, those are the two decks I agree that are going to be the ones that we got to watch out for. But yeah, I think. Like, I guess my bold prediction is that we, like, I'm going the opposite direction. I think we see a spike in Sabine, the complete opposite of you, Gil. Like, I no, think that number goes from 18% to 25%.
18 to 25?
Yeah, I think, again, okay. People jump on like, yep. What's popular. Like, they're like, oh, well, I can't win. If like,
but here's what's, this is what I mean, though. People are going to jump on it. So, no, I'm not saying people are not going to jump on it, but are they good players? And are sure, they just and so
like, that's why I'm saying top eights we're gonna see 25% Sabine top
eights. I honestly think the really good players are gonna tech even more against it and smash them like so hard. That's
fine, but they're still making the top eights.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Look, I think it's gonna be. I agree with Corey. Like I think you're gonna see more. You're gonna see more Sabine, and I think the meta. If I had to guess, the meta skew is gonna be the counter. It's something that can counter both Sabine and Han. You know,
it has to it, be. It's yeah. What
yeah,
is going to be?
I mean,
combined right now, right? We're at 32%.
Krennic's coming back, baby.
I mean, Kira Green took a PQ, and that is a deck that can beat those two decks. Mm-hmm. So yep.
We are getting set one leaders winning PQs. I mean, that's pretty cool. Yeah. We had a Kira, we had a Palp, we had an Iden.
I think about half of them are like set one leaders, and the other, or not half, but like half the total top eight board is like set one Sabine. Leaders.
Well,
and then
most of them are set one, I guess, because you have Sabine and Han, obviously. Can't forget about that.
And then you got Django, Cad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the only Anakin. Set three leaders that won, or set three leader had that one is Quinlan.
Oh, yeah, Quinlan. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
Quinlan
ECL and Quinlan Darkentown. I think one.
Both of those.
Yeah,
that's a good mid range deck. I mean, that's not bad. You know,
mm-hmm. I mean, Yellow Heroism. There you go.
I love it, Yellow Heroism. Okay, so any final words before we let you guys go? No. So
happy PQ season, baby.
Happy PQ season.
Love it.
Last times. Comment. So I have a bajillion like legendaries here, so I'm gonna just show on the screen. I have like a like aggressions and stuff like this. We are at about to hit 100 subs on the YouTube. The podcast is doing really well. I mean, like 1,000 downloads, it's crazy. The YouTube is about to hit 100 subs. I think if it happens by next week, we'll do a live I'll do a live shuffling on this podcast episode, and then whatever it draws is what I'm going to raffle off to, and then whoever puts like a comment or something down on like the video will get entered into the draft for like me to ship you just like a free legendary card. And like these are like I'll peruse it, but like I have like, you know, aggressions and random shit like that, so excuse my language. So I got some decent cards up in here to give away. Nice. And I think that'll be a fun little giveaway for especially for those who are sticking around. So
gonna get lucky and pull that planetary invasion.
Oh my! Well, hey! I got. I'm willing to give away vigilance. You know, it's right here. Like it's, but it's again, it's a fat stack of legendaries, right? This is pretty big. So we'll do the live shuffle, and then we'll
nice. Draw That's something down. To look forward to, guys. So definitely check it out. Exciting!
Yeah,
sure. I'm excited for that.
Oh yeah! I think
we're not eligible to win, are we? No.
I was gonna say I can't enter. What the heck's up,
Gil? If you guys leave a comment, go ahead. No, I don't care. You.
Then you don't have to ship it.
No.
Unofficial drawing. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for your time. To everyone else out there, until next time, may the force be with you.